There's a new book out just in time for the 4th of July when we celebrate America's birthday. It's called The 56. The subtitle is Liberty Lessons from Those Who Risked All to Sign the Declaration of Independence. The subtitle says Before They and the 4th of July Are Banned. The author is Douglas MacKinnon, a former White House and Pentagon official and best-selling author. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Douglas MacKinnon joins us now. And it's great to have you on the program, and thank you and congratulations on your new book, The 56.
Jerry, thanks so much for having me on. It's an honor. And yeah, like you said, the most important subtitle on the book is Before They and the 4th of July Are Banned. Because what happened was just last July 3rd, I had no intention of writing the book. And then on the 4th of July of last year, I was taking a bit of a tour through some of the more liberal news sites out there, and there was guest after guest after guest calling for the banning of the 4th of July, the cancellation of our founding fathers, and the banning of the American flag.
Wow.
And so I just picked up the phone and called my publisher, and the book was born that day.
Isn't that amazing? You know, by the way, I recognize you seem to have a Boston accent or an accent from the Massachusetts.
Yeah, actually, Dorchester, the heart of Boston.
So. Okay. Well, so now look at this. 402 years ago, the Pilgrims came over. On the 2020, that was the 400th anniversary of the Pilgrims and the voyage of the Mayflower. And there was, you know, not much of a word said in the media in general about that. That's amazing what's happening to our history at large, you know, as Americans. And it's an amazing story, a great story.
Well, and that's the problem too, Jerry, because again, what I say in the book and what I stress, if our history is bad, let us condemn it and learn from it. If it's good, let us praise it and build upon it, right? Mm-hmm. But let's never, ever cancel our shared American history. And unfortunately, too many people on the left just look at the founding fathers, the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, as a shameful period in our history, as opposed to that is the history that created the United States of America. Those men were the men that created the United States of America, and we're going through a very dangerous period right now. What I talk about in the book, and I outline in the book, is I believe this sort of the tyranny of 2022 in many ways is more dangerous than the tyranny of 1776 that these men fought.
That's amazing. Here's a quote from your book. For tens of millions of Americans and millions more around the world, the 56 signers plus one featured in this book, as well as every one of the other founding fathers, did in fact create the greatest nation the world has ever known. I'll stop there and let you comment on that, but please explain who the plus one is. Who is that one? Charles Thompson?
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Robert Livingston, actually. But to go back to your point, too, you know, about that, again, because what people don't realize on the left, they want to cancel these 56
okay, get closer to the mic. Get closer to the mic in the phone, please, if you would. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Okay, I was going to say what people don't realize that want to cancel these men is that when they signed the Declaration of Independence in 1776, they were literally signing their own death warrant.
Yes.
And so many of these men, after they did that, were imprisoned, had their homes burned to the ground, had their wives arrested, their wives sexually abused, their sons executed before their eyes. And again, and these are the men that some on the left want to cancel. And again, my point is, it's very dangerous and complicated to look at the history of 1776 through the prism of 2022.
Yes, that's very true. And by the way, future generations will look back at us and they'll say, wait a minute, you had 3D sonograms and you had abortion on demand through all, you know, 9 months in some of these cases, whatever. I mean, in other words, they're going to look back and look at our foibles and so forth. But explain how the Robert Livingston part, the plus one, explain that, if you would.
Well, because he was one of the he was on the Committee of Five to draft the Declaration of Independence, and very much actually like Richard Henry Lee, who I talk about in the book, who was one of the signers. I sort of inversed the order, Jerry, because most Americans, when they think of the Declaration of Independence, the first name that comes to mind is Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And Jefferson does deserve all the credit in the world. But what happened was, going back to either Robert Livingston or, in fact, Richard Henry Lee, one of the great things about doing a book like this is that you learn so much.
Yes.
And what I learned was that Richard Henry Lee was much more of the architect of the Liberty Movement than Thomas Jefferson. And Richard Henry Lee, in fact, was going to be the chairman of the Committee of Five to draft the Declaration of Independence, and he was probably going to be the person selected to actually write the Declaration of Independence. But on June 10, 1776, his wife took deathly ill, and he told the Continental Congress, do not wait on me. We've got to get this done. Because, again, he was the one that was pushing it for years. And so Thomas Jefferson stepped into the breach left by Richard Henry Lee. And so the same point with Robert Livingston is that he was called away also because of an illness in the family. And so he did not get to sign the Declaration of Independence, even though he was one of the ones on the Committee of Five. So that's why I said 56 plus one.
Okay. You said that they created the greatest nation the world has ever known. Comment on that, if you would. If it's the greatest nation the world has ever known, why do so many Americans today want to basically tear down America and you know, villainize the founders? And they removed the statue of Thomas Jefferson from New York City's public hall after it had been there for more than 150 years.
Well, because the sad fact is, Jerry, they do not teach American history in school anymore. So, and again, and unfortunately also, so many quote-unquote historians that represent these men over the last 10, 20, 30 years are left of center, and so they look first to smear them as opposed to praise them. And again, so it's one of these things where if American school children are not taught about the greatness and the sacrifice of these 56 men, and then years later, what I talk about in the book, too, is over the course of the last 60 years, basically, the five major megaphones of our nation, which I talk about in the book, being the media, entertainment, academia, science, and medicine, have been majority taken over by the left. And because of that, they can create more misinformation by omission than anything else. And part of that omission is not teaching the history of these founding fathers, of the American Revolution, of the courage of these men. And so I try to, you know, at least fix some of that by putting this book out now.
Sure. Okay, here's another quote from you, from your book, The 56. A nation that, very much like the Roman Empire, is in the final throes of national suicide because of a totalitarian rule and greed that has abandoned each and every principle our founding fathers held dear. Wow. Okay, your comment on your own writing.
Well, because ultimately, again, sort of as we're discovering that in a very painful way with regard to socialism and Marxism, everybody loves the idea of free is for me. But as most people realize, even many five-year-olds, ultimately somebody has to work. Somebody has to pay the taxes. Somebody has to pay the bills. Free is for me doesn't work. If you start eliminating all the college debt in the country, you know, to the tune of over $1 trillion, who is that debt going to fall on? It's going to fall on the American taxpayer who's still working. And the same thing applies across the board. And also, by the way, you have to have rule of law. You have to have sovereign borders. Okay? You have to have a strong and stable military. These are all the things that the founding fathers understood and created, and each and every one of those are eroding before our very eyes. And at a certain point, this house of cards that is now the United States of America is going to collapse.
Okay, I'm going to continue with your book, even though, or this particular quote, even though you've just touched on some of those points. Here we go. As the 56 knew well, and again, we're talking about the 56 men who voted by voice votes on July 4th, 1776. That's why that's the day of our independence, for the final wording of the Declaration of Independence. Again, as the 56 knew well, the rule of law matters, a strong military matters, sovereign and protected borders matter, hard work matters, personal accountability matters, rewarding the best and brightest matters, smaller and less intrusive government matters, and faith matters. Comment on any aspect of your own writing, if you would, on this particular point.
Well, on that, too, so many of the 56, you know, men that signed the Declaration of Independence were strongly faith-based. And what they said was, our rights and our liberties were bestowed upon us by God. And again, for those people that still have faith, you know, they also spoke about the unalienable rights of the colonists. And unalienable rights, Jerry, are non-negotiable, right? I mean,
yeah.
At a certain point, it's unalienable, and they cannot take that away from us. And yet, with each passing day, we're losing more of our rights, more of our liberty, more of our freedom. And at what point, one of the things I talk about in the book, too, is one of my favorite speeches, is a speech by Teddy Roosevelt that he gave in 1910 called The Man in the Arena. And so what Teddy Roosevelt talked about then was the credit belongs to the person in the arena on the floor of the arena who fights the fight, who gets knocked down, who gets bloodied, who gets beaten up, but gets up time and again to fight for his or her rights, and not the people sitting in the peanut gallery that are criticizing that person fighting for his rights. And what I say is too many people in the United States of America are now sitting in the peanut gallery and not fighting for their rights. And they have to stand. No one is going to ride to the rescue to save us. We have to save ourselves.
Fortunately, those who still do believe in the vision of our founding fathers and the Republic they sought to create are not yet vanquished. Again, until those who seek complete totalitarian groupthink rule imprison us or take our very lives, they cannot silence us. Wow, this is again a quote from Doug McKinnon in his book, The 56. How about a comment, Doug, on those words you just wrote?
Well, I think that's one of the most important points, and that is what, in a sense, we all can become a son and daughter of liberty again, in the sense that, like a mini Paul Revere, we have to have these conversations now, Jerry. We have to speak to each other at church, at work, at the supermarket, at the bowling alley, across the fence. It doesn't matter, but we have to start having the conversation with each other about the fact that our rights are being taken away, for that our liberty is going away, that the republic that these 56 men created is on the brink of failure because, again, there's just too many, you know, bad things that are going on. And again, it's the tyranny of sort of like the elites right now that are putting their foot on the throat of the working class Americans of today.
Wow. Okay, and then one more quote from you, and here we go. And while the left and far left do control most of the media, academia, entertainment, science, and medicine, there are still ways to make our voices heard. Your comments.
Well, that is one, as I just said. But another thing, too, is, you know, if you look across the spectrum in the United States, if you look at conservatives, Republicans, libertarians, and people of faith that have money, you know, substantial money, you're talking about over $1 trillion in the United States. And at some point, isn't it incumbent, going back to the Teddy Roosevelt man in the arena comparison, isn't it incumbent upon those people that are conservative or libertarian or Republican or have faith that have money to start to create their own news media sites, to start to create their own schools, to start to create their own entertainment outlets? Because again, not to turn them into conservative echo chambers, but rather to turn them into places where all voices are welcome and all voices can be heard without being canceled.
Okay, we have a minute and a half left to talk about The 56, your book. Any quick comment you want to make about any of the 56 signers, anything that you learned that was just like, oh, everybody needs to know this about signer so-and-so from the state of such-and-such?
Yeah, well, again, like I said, I think the most important thing for me was that Richard Henry Lee of Virginia never, ever got the credit he deserved for being the person who really was the guiding voice and sort of, you know, behind, you know, Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin and John Adams and Samuel Adams and John Hancock. And it's one of these things where, so again, in the book, I put him number one among equals, because he deserves the credit, because he was the one that stood up and really started this whole movement.
Okay, we have about 30 seconds to wrap up. You know, the one thing that's kind of scary about this interview, I just watched over the weekend the Patton movie again, and one of the most remarkable sound bites in that was when Patton acknowledged that, you know, we need to realize we could yet lose this war. This war could be lost, you know, if we're not careful. And you're sort of saying that in this interview in different ways.
Well, we are. Well, you know, we're losing the United States of America that the 56 signers of the Declaration and the Founding Fathers created. Every single day, we're losing more and more of that. And again, we're no longer the beacon of hope to people around the world, because at a certain point, they realize they're going to flee the totalitarian regimes they live in to come into some tyranny in the United States of America, and we have to reverse that trend.
All right, Doug McKinnon, The 56, Liberty Lessons from Those Who Risked All to Sign the Declaration of Independence Before They and the 4th of July Are Banned. Thanks so much. All the best to you, Doug.
I really appreciate it, Jerry. Thank you very much.